Okay. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, let's turn to the third of Joshua, please. The third of Joshua. I can't believe it's taken me nearly 30 years to figure out, or to actually appreciate, not figure out, appreciate how amazingly, particularly the book of Joshua, as it delineates the entry into the promised land, how that is not so much about heaven as so many of our songs would have us believe. It's an unbelievable picture of the Christian life. And I've just now discovered how all through this book that this is, for example, in chapters 3 and 4, last week we looked at the first 8 verses, right? Yeah, I believe so. First 13 verses, okay, good. Yeah, and that's all about, you have 5 messages of revelation there. It's all about taking in the word. God speaking, Joshua speaking, it's all information from God, so we take in the scriptures. Then the rest of chapter 3 is all about putting that to shoe leather, right? It's about walking, actually getting up off the ground and moving into possess your inheritance. That's what we're doing right now, all right? And then chapters 3 and 4 are a unit. Chapter 4 is all about witnessing. That's the Christian life, isn't it? We take in scripture, we live it out in our life, in our daily existence, and when we tell others about it. And so it really is a picture of the Christian existence, of the Christian life. Let me say it again. You're either an overcomer as a Christian, or you are being overcome. There's no middle ground. You're either a victor, or you are a victim, and you really don't want to be that. Nobody wants to be that. Definitely not. All right, so let's review. Let's review where we've been. Okay, remember now, again, you have 5 different messages. Sometimes God speaking, sometimes Joshua speaking, sometimes Joshua's officers are speaking, okay? But no matter who's speaking, it's all revelatory, and so it's really critical that they get the marching order straight, okay? All right, first of all, you have in the first 4 verses, the officers, they have a message for the people, okay? Now, on this unnamed day, we don't know the date or the holiday or anything, it wasn't any one of those, but Joshua gets up very early in the morning, as he was wont to do, and he leaves Shittim, where they were camped out, and they move from Shittim, and they approach the Jordan. A half a mile hike. Actually, no, from Shittim to the vicinity of Jordan would have been a 10-mile jaunt, so it would have taken them all day to do that, a 10-mile jaunt from the Transjordan area, okay? And then it says that before they did that, though, the officers went all throughout the millions, the multitudes, and were spreading the message of how things were going to go that day. Really an amazing feat if you think about it. Okay, and they said, here's the instructions. When you see the ark of the Lord, and you see the priests, the Levites, bearing the ark, all right, that means it's time to go. And you're going to get up, they're going to go first, okay, and you're going to follow them. In fact, there's going to be, you got to make sure that you always keep a half-mile distance. So they would have been, and however long it would have taken for the priest to transport the ark a half a mile out of Shittim, that's when the procession, there was kind of like marching orders, forward march, and they maintained that space because of the holiness of God, all right? So the officers are the ones that were setting this up. They had received their commands, no doubt, from either the Lord or from Joshua himself, and that's the way that it was going to be. Okay, then secondly, in the second place, you have the Joshua messaging the people, right? The offers speak to the whole crowd, and now Joshua speaks to the people in verse 5. He tells them to sanctify yourselves, right? Get into a mode of holiness. It's almost like, you know, singing, take time to be holy, you know? Sanctify yourselves, because you're going to see God do unbelievable things. In fact, he mentions the word tomorrow. And surely that would be the case. All right, then the third message was Joshua again now talking directly to the priests in verse 6. He commands them, take up the ark of the covenant all right, pass right through the people. And the priest did so. They got in position, and they went, and they marched toward the Jordan. And then the fourth message is in verses 7 and 8, and that's the message of God now to Joshua again. So you almost have a kind of a circular thing going on here, right? First, you've got the officers talking to the people. Then you have, in verse 5, Joshua talking to the people. And then you have, in verse 6, Joshua talking to the priests. And now, fourthly, you have God, again, speaking directly to Joshua. And here's what God tells Joshua. He says, this very day, I'm going to magnify you in these people's eyes. They're going to see you the way they knew that I was with Moses and that Moses was my man. They're going to think exactly the same way about you. All right? I'm going to do that in the sight of the whole nation, that they may know that is the way I want it. And they're going to abide by that. And then I want you to command the priests to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying when you come to the brink of the water, you stand in the water. So Joshua is giving this information. He's receiving this information from God. This is the way I want it done. All right, when the priests get to the water, I want the water to cover the tops of their feet. And I want them standing in the H2O. Okay, when that happens, then we'll commence the rest of the march to come. All right, and then finally, the fifth message is Joshua again, once again now for the second time, addresses the whole nation, all the people, in verses 9 through 13. In fact, he gathers them all together, and he says, come on and hear the word of the Lord. I have something from God for you. And then he tells them that God will not fail to drive out. And then he names, I think, 7 or 8 of these little city-states within the bigger realm of Canaan. Not one of them will prevail if you just have faith to believe the Lord, you see. So I want you to take out 12 men from every tribe. There were 12 tribes, 12 spies to begin with. They failed. Now these 12 are going to get the job done, okay? They're in verse 12. And then verse 13, he reiterates what God had told him. When the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, and then they shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. An amazing thing. Then we're coming up on some information on exactly what happens there. In other words, when God saw that the priest's feet were in the water, that was when the water would begin to divide. Okay? Really an amazing set of rules in these five different speeches that are taking place all constitute the taking in of the word. All right, so that brings us then to verse 14 and the walk. Okay, let's just read it, verses 14 through 17. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now that's very verbose, and you can get lost in all that verbiage, but that is one of the most miraculous passages in the entire scripture, friends. It truly is. You know, during most of the year, the Jordan River was only about 100 feet wide, 100 feet. That's just a little bit over 30 yards, okay, about 33 yards to be exact. But when the spring flood season came, all right, the river would every year overflow its banks, and this is where they find themselves right now at this spring season. And the Jordan goes from 100 feet wide to a mile wide, so nobody's going to. And that water's rushing, okay, because of the melt-off from Mount Hermon, and it's no one's going to swim that. Impossible. It's just not going to happen. All right, so the second that the priests bearing the ark stuck their feet in that Jordan, all right, the water stopped flowing, And then the Bible says that it stood up like a wall at this city, Adam, near a place called Zaratan, about 20 feet high. God just spread the thing out. I mean, spread it out. And you can see it about 20 miles in the distance. That's how much room they had to walk across the Jordan River. Just an astounding thing to try to comprehend. If they have the actual, if they have the ancient Shittim right, and that they march straight due west to get to the Jordan, they also know archaeologists discovered where this Adam is. It's 20 miles to the east, and so the wall of water would have been 20 feet high. They could still see it. Just an amazing thing. Anyway, a miracle, an absolute miracle. So, I mean, the practical lesson of all this is that these people had to step out on faith. If they didn't start actually moving, if their DNA and their limbs and their muscles didn't start working and they started moving toward that which looked impossible, it never would have happened. You had to do it by faith. Then that's what we have to do, all right? We have to. In fact, I'm not sure if this is right or not, but I think, you know, the phrase, you need to get your feet wet, that it comes from this passage when our country was more prone to looking at Scripture and taking Scripture seriously. We actually coined some of our phrases from the Scriptures. All right? So we step out on faith. If we don't do that, if we don't proverbially, I'll kind of like this, get your feet wet, all right, then we're not really going to likely be, we're not going to be candidates to make a whole lot of progress in our lives for the Lord Jesus. We're not really going to serve Him for the rest of our life. It's just not going to happen. All right, so every step that those priests took then was a step of faith, and they were opening literally the water before them until they were standing right in the middle of the Jordan on dry ground, unless I'm reading it wrong, but that's the way I see it, okay? They would step, and they would step on dry ground. Take another step, it'd be dry, and it would just recede as they were moving, okay? Think about that. That's just astonishing that that could happen like that. And so there they stand in the middle of the Jordan, and now the people finally catch up to them, and they pass right by them. And when the whole nation crosses, the priests walk to the shore, and then the flow of the water resumes. Right. So as soon as the last priest steps on the, no longer is the overflow region, the water comes rushing back in. Just the same way, probably, as it did with the original crossing of the Red Sea. In fact, when the Lord opened the Red Sea, Exodus 14 and verse 21 says that He used a strong wind. And it actually blew the night before. Now, that was no accident. And in fact, Moses says in Exodus 15:8 that he called it the blast of God's nostrils. So there you have it. Moses lifts his rod up, and the waters flow back and absolutely drown the Egyptian army. And so when Israel crossed that Jordan now this time, it's not Moses with it. Joshua has no rod. There's not a man giving a signal with a designated prop, okay? That's not what brought the miracle. It was the people's faith, actually. It was the obedient feet that made the conscious decision to move against all odds as far as normalcy is concerned. And that's the way it is with us, friends. If we're not willing to step out and actually be Christians every single day of our life, then it's not likely that God's going to open up very much opportunity for us. If we don't have the faith to take some risks in our daily existence, especially with lost people, then I don't think that we can expect very much. All right, so once again, the main thing before we stop here is the crossing of the Jordan, it's not a picture of the Christian dying and going to heaven, okay? The Red Sea pictures a Christian being delivered from the bondage of sin. But the crossing of the Jordan, that pictures something else. It pictures a believer claiming his inheritance in Christ. And so there's that subtle difference there. And I don't think that's forcing it or pushing the issue hermeneutically. I think it's a very, very appropriate application taken from a literal methodology of finding proper applications that really don't stretch things for us in the 21st century. Very, very important. And then, and in this, Joshua is a type of Christ, right? He is he is the conqueror that leads us from day to day right into this inheritance that he planned for us before the foundation of the world. He really is a type of Christ that way. Okay, I love what Psalms 47 says. It says, "He shall choose our inheritance for us," and God has done that. Absolutely, he's done that. It's an absolute tragedy for a Christian to fail to live this way, to fail to claim your inheritance. It really is. Wander aimlessly through life, which is what Israel did for those 40 years. It's a picture of two ways that you can go. You know, you can go that way or you can go the right way. In fact, Hebrews, written to challenge that whole crowd of Jews, you know, to pick it up, let's get with it. Go on to spiritual maturity and don't go backward in unbelief. In fact, in Hebrews 3 and 4, the writer of the Hebrews there mentions the experience at Kadesh Barnea to warn these people about what can happen to them, the consequences of standing still in their lives. You're either moving forward or you are moving backward, but nobody stays the same. And maybe we've all found that to be true, amen? Okay.